What a fabulous weekend we had at the Dunes Resort in Saugatuck, Michigan, the Fire Island of the Midwest. Hundreds of gay men, queens, daddies, and studs came to check out Coco Peru's fabulous live show at the resort, and there wasn't a dry seat in the house.
Joining us today is full-time professor and part-time drag queen, Larry LaFontaine. Larry gives us his review of Coco Peru's show and shares with us the sexy highlights of our weekend trip.
Plus, all the hot news. A British soap opera star is gay-bashed for playing a gay character on TV.
What do you do if you catch your friend shopping at Target?
And the Peruvian origins of Coco Peru's name and Ima Sumac, the 60s chanteuse who made a resurgence in the 1990s. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hola, es Lola.
Hola, es Lola.
Hi,
Hola,
Larry. Lola. We Hi. Miss you so much.
Oh. Hi, Mark. Hi, Fausto.
Hi, Larry, or also known as Lola von Miramar.
That is right. The fabulous Lola von Miramar.
No, just Lola.
Okay. You're always cutting me down.
Well, you got to cut a bitch, counsel her, and...
What was that?
Uplift her and send her on her way.
Okay.
Larry, I have to say, it was really exciting to see you glow with exuberant joy upon seeing drag queen after drag queen after drag queen, not just Coco Peru, but Sunday's fabulous cabaret.
Absolutely. At the Dunes Resort in Douglas, Michigan, they have the best drag show, and they had all these queens from Detroit and from the Saugatuck area. I just love drag, and they were just fabulous.
And I think drag loves you. Because those drag queens, for a second there, I saw $20 bills flying out of somebody's pocket. It wasn't yours, but it was like...
Oh, Larry gave him a 20.
You gave him a 20?
Yes,
you tipped a drag queen a $20 bill?
Because Miss Taryn... Like, she took, like, this go-go boy's cell phone, and then she was holding it for ransom. And he gave her 20, and she was still not giving it back. So I said, well, he's awfully cute. Let me help him out. And I went up, and I even got a tiny kiss.
Oh. So what was the highlight for the weekend, for our fabulous weekend in Saugatuck?
Oh, well, so many things. I have to say, seeing Miss Coco Peru's fabulous show at the Dunes was definitely a highlight. Going to Oval Beach, which just has so many gay and lesbian people, and it's right on Lake Michigan on a beautiful summer day. And, of course, hanging out with you and the fabulous David, who was with us.
Yes, yes. It was so nice and so sweet. David and everybody's Charpentier. So nice there. David Charpentier.
Yes.
Or as I call him, Charp. But you got to stay one more extra day.
I stayed one more extra day. I stayed until today, Monday. And it was really lovely because not only do they have the drag show, but I also met some charming gay men who are in Saugatuck this week to perform in the nuclear family. Steven Guarino from the Big Gay Sketch Show and his colleague Jimmy Ray Bennett are in Saugatuck, and they will be doing their improv show, which is really popular among gay audiences.
Awesome. Tell us about the hot gay action you had.
Yeah, I want to know, because I noticed that when we were about to leave, you got on all these gay chats websites like...
Bear11.
Ositosdemiel.com.
Bear11, that's a chat line for men who... consider themselves bears or like bears. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and quite a few are in Saugatuck, because Saugatuck and Douglas in Michigan, on Lake Michigan, are you know, they're just these amazing gay towns where lots of people from Chicago, Detroit, and even Indiana go hang out and vacation during the summer. So it's just a really fun place, and people in the Midwest should go there. And the best thing about the internet is that you can sort of start meeting people even before you get there or while you're still there.
Now, Larry, you were saying before we started taping the show that you were sitting at the drag show, and the hostess, Taryn, you and she developed a special relationship. What happened?
Well, this is so strange. I have to say, for the first time in my life, a drag queen returned money to me.
Why?
I don't know. Because she wanted more, or maybe I had given her too much, or maybe she just thought it'd be funny. Then she asked me what my name was, and I said, Nasty.
So you tipped her, and she said, I don't want your money, take it back.
She gave it right back to me. But you know what? I'd already given her in excess of $20, which is quite generous. But, you know, she was the MC. We'd been seeing her for 3 days in a row. So, you know, those girls work hard. It's not easy to.
Yeah, because you've done drag before, so you know what it takes to put on the wig and that makeup and to dance around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the nice thing about seeing you in drag and that video, how to make tostones, how to make fried green plantains Puerto Rican style with lots of sass and drag, is just weeks away from premiering on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/feastoffun. And I want to get inside your brain, because that was like the first time you ever dressed up in drag, right?
It really is, which is really funny, because I am a big drag fan and I've been writing about drag for a long time. But you know, I just needed that little push. And I also needed friends who actually knew how to do it, because I suppose, you know, you could just put any old makeup on your face, but drag makeup is a real science, so to speak. You know, there's a real art to it. Unfortunately, there's lots of videos online that really help you out. They tell you what the steps are. And there's even some shops that you can go to, and that people are very friendly. Here near Detroit, we have one.
Where you've been, you haven't left yet.
Those tranny bookstores just are such helpful places, aren't they?
I know, but drag is such a important and big part of being gay and having fun. And I just think, you know, people should lighten up and appreciate it and do it. And I think we'd all be better if we, like, reached out and touched our inner drag self.
Well, and so you got to touch your inner drag self, and like a duck to water, you quacked real loudly and swam very far. What was the experience like for you the very first time?
Well, it's just bizarre, because you look at yourself in the mirror and you just don't really recognize yourself. But it's also just very playful, and so I just really loved it, and I was just also amazed at how it comes about. So I was really fortunate that you guys put my makeup on me. It's been a little harder learning how to do my own makeup, and I have to say that I think I still don't quite master it. But the funny part is that even if you do a bad job, people still like it, because they think it's kind of like monsterish or almost clownish.
It's called booger drag. Booger drag.
But
you,
drag.
You know, it's like doing anything. You just keep practicing and practicing, and eventually it'll turn out all right.
Right.
Well, being a drag queen is sort of like eating pizza or having sex or getting a blowjob. It's, even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And I mean, I have to say that, you know, fun people, let me put it this way, my friends, they just really appreciate drag. So I just say, I would just tell all of our listeners, you know, go out, get that wig, buy some makeup at the dollar store, and just try it, because it's lots of fun.
And if you're in prison, just save the colorful photos in magazines. And just like a lowlife in high heels, Holly Woodlawn said in her autobiography, just spit on the colorful photos and rub that rouge on your cheeks, and you might fool your cellmate into thinking you're a pretty lady.
That's incredible.
Well, what if that same printing process would still work these days? I don't know.
Construction paper or Red Hots or anything with a pigment in it.
Blood.
Beet juice. Beet juice works.
Blood.
My
Blood.
Older sister actually uses beet juice to bring some color to her cheeks. She thinks
as a natural cosmetic.
Yeah, because it actually like is very. She feels it's healthy.
She was doing that like on her lips. She had some like natural like dye for her lips, but I think she got rid of it because it was like I didn't want to tell her, but it looked awful.
It was very prison drag.
It was prison drag.
People have been using natural cosmetics for centuries.
Oh yeah,
discovering all the different plants and
people have been using lead for years.
Which is quite dangerous. So I think we don't do that anymore.
Well, one thing, if you're always in desperate for some good. Charcoal for your eyes is use charcoal. You know, after the fire's done, just go in there, rub those ashes with water and just smear it on your eye.
I have to say the dollar store is really, or your 99-cent local store is really a young drag queen's best friend, because obviously there's very expensive, lovely makeup, which is fantastic, and of course it's much better for your skin if you're going to be doing lots of drag. You really want to invest in things that won't make you break out in pimples. But if it's just for fun, then, you know, go to the dollar or 99-cent store and go crazy.
It looked real trashy. There's a wonderful video online, and it's on YouTube. It's got several thousand, 100,000 views. It's like, how to make your makeup look like a whore or a slut or really trashy and skanky. And this poor girl, she's just like, make your eyes look like this. This is real slutty. And make your eyes look like, or your mouth like you just want to give a blowjob.
Well, I also like that's the fact that she's always like saying, this will get you laid at the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, boys will like this at the clubs.
Oh, yeah, you're at the clubs.
Well, I just wanted to say that when you guys dressed up as vampire drag queens recently for Miss Peach's Christ film, that was just really spectacular.
Why, thank you, Larry.
That was just a little thing Mark and I threw together the last minute.
Mm-hmm. You even sewed your outfit. That's so impressive.
We did. Well, we're like Cinderella. We had like a fairy godmother come in and help us.
And the mice, too.
And
don't forget
mice.
You know, that's the thing that bothers me about the legend of Cinderella, mm-hmm. is that damn fairy godmother got all the credit when it was really the mice that did all the work.
But she enchanted
the
them.
Birds.
And the birds, the mice and the birds, you know? And because in Puerto Rico, it was always los ratoncitos.
We actually didn't have a fairy godmother help us at all. We actually did do all the work. Why am I giving the credit away?
Yeah, no mice, no birds, no fairy godmother. It was Mark and me sweating it.
Barbara at the fabric store was very helpful.
And she's fixed her eyeglass problem that she had for years.
Really?
Yeah, she had a pair of eyeglasses that were too heavy for her face. Mm-hmm. And she's African-American, so she has African-American features. Mm-hmm. And her eyeglasses slid down and pinched her nose. So she had kind of like a Michael Jackson nose from her glasses, which was, you couldn't stop staring at it. But now she's like fixed it and she looks normal now.
Tell me, I'm a little curious about how you all learn how to sew.
I actually studied lots of things in my life, and I've had many careers. But in the past, I actually studied for I took a couple of classes of costume making and sewing in the home ec department as an undergraduate student.
I watched that TV program with that lady that had the mouth. The she couldn't speak right. Let's sew with Susan.
Mark, you have something in your mouth.
No, Mark just had a stroke.
What's that TV show?
I don't know
what it is either.
Sewing with Susan or something
Sewing
like
with
that.
Susan. I don't know what it is. She talks on the side of the world. Actually, Fausto taught me everything that I know about sewing. Everything.
Everything?
Was it hard for you to learn, Mark?
No, it's actually, you know, the thing is, though, it's once you get the basics down, it's okay. Now, this is for costuming. Like, I'm not going to be, like, making, like, a fancy dress. Well, I don't. We made fancy dresses, but that was costuming. That's something you would wear one day. I actually made a pair of pants that I really loved, and when I wear them, people go, oh, my God, I love those pants. But they're a little tight on me now, so I don't really wear them much. I was thinking about putting a panel in them, but they're always surprised when, like, you made that, but that I got help from a neighbor.
Well, yeah,
I just think that's an amazing skill to have, to know how to sew. It's also almost from a previous trip, previous generation. Like, my mom sewed a lot, but I barely know how to thread a button.
Well, I think, Larry, next time you come for a visit, we'll break it out, and we'll get something, and we'll make you a nice muumuu.
Or maybe I can make myself my own panda outfit.
Do you want to come in for Halloween and be a panda with us?
Okay.
Okay.
Ay, but Dios mío.
You gotta make that outfit because I'm not gonna do it.
Wow.
I'll tell you how to do it.
Okay, I'm gonna have to learn how to sew and wear a thimble so I don't prick my finger.
No. We don't like pricks around here.
Yeah, they showed like a Saugatuck though. There was a lot of hot men. And for a while, like Larry and I were going around the club because there was rumors that a famous cult porn star was there, and it was just a guy wearing a very... He looked like a porn star.
I think he was.
I think he was, and he was like telling us he wasn't.
He was pretending he wasn't.
So we were just like, what? What? So we have our photo. You go to the website, feastoffun.com, and tell us, is this guy, I nickname him Big D, because he's from Detroit. But he said his name was John. I don't think that was his name. I don't think that, I think he was a famous porn star.
I think we have lots of listeners that are very well acquainted with all forms of pornography, so they'll probably be able to identify him.
Awesome.
Yeah, so cause I want to know if I met somebody famous or not. Mm-hmm. Well, we were hanging out with Coco Peru.
That's true. She's famous.
And her fabulous husband.
Rafael.
From España.
Spain.
And you and Larry, you and Rafael really bonded because you're both college professors.
Absolutely. And he works in California, and we have friends in common. And it was just really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you actually wrote a review of Coco Peru's show.
I did.
So, do you want to read it for us?
Sure. And can I pretend this is NPR?
Yes.
And read it in my NPR voice.
Now, Fausto, introduce
hold on
him
a second.
Maria Hinojosa. You be Maria.
Yeah, I'll be like Maria Hinojosa. And this is Latino USA. So we're going to slum it up and pretend like we're NPR here. Give me some money, please. I'm starving to death. This is NPR.
Reach Feast of Fun's engaged, enlightened, educated audience.
Yes, with 90% stutter-free now. Hi, this is Terry Gross, and I'm touching myself.
This is Travis Smiley.
This
you
is Travis. This is Travis Smiley, and I just ate a bucket of delicious fried okra. Mmm.
Well, I enjoy listening to the Feast of Fun, and I also listen to NPR.
I do too.
Lies,
TikTok.
Lies.
Oh, if you have a car though, it's not. Well, okay, so
I listen to it too, and we wouldn't know these people if we didn't love it.
Yeah, obviously.
Come on.
We're like, who the hell is that? Okay, so let's slum it up and pretend like we're on NPR now. So give us the review of Coco Peru at the Dunes Resort in Saugatuck, Michigan.
Very well. Miss Coco Peru's star shines bright in the Midwest. A review by Larry LaFontaine. Miss Coco Peru is one angry, bitter queen. Angry at the legacy of anti-gay, anti-sissy boy discrimination and intolerance. Bitter about political correctness, political stupidity, and general human foibles. But she swallows that bitter pill and spills it over her audience in a delightful musical cabaret show, which I saw with my friends from the Feast of Fun podcast on Friday, August 20th, at the Dunes Resort in Saugatuck, Michigan. Taking the audience on a treacherous journey from her time as a young child in the Bronx up to recent sojourns with her mother Helen in Florida, a hilarious Papa John's pizza ordering fiasco, Miss Coco Peru explains why her dream to become the gay Jesus, a homo messiah, has failed. Not that she hasn't tried hard. From rallying against abusive Catholic nuns in grade school to a rant about the absurdity of not giving lesbians and gays equal marriage rights, Miss Coco Peru comments on contemporary social issues from a progressive and angry drag perspective, while also sharing lovely anecdotes about her own marriage to her husband Rafael, legally conducted in Spain, where Rafael is from. All of this while wearing a gorgeous ginger-red wig that flares at the bottom and a sparkly silver dress with matching necklace. Clinton Loop, who performs under the stage name Miss Coco Peru, is a talented monologist and equally talented singer. The songs, rewritings of American classics, help to lighten the tone of Miss Coco's show and showcase her enormous skills as a chanteuse. While extremely tightly scripted, The show maintains elements of stand-up comedy and of the social critique that characterizes cabaret theater, where a biting discussion of current affairs is interspersed with more entertaining banter. The content of the show seems more geared toward middle to older age audience, to people who share the memories of much more hostile times. Coco Peru also jokes about feeling some resentment towards younger generations who do not have that historical memory. Hopefully, her show will serve as a repository of conflicted emotions that younger people can access as they try to understand the profound social changes that have marked the last half century. Originally a New York drag queen, Miss Coco now resides in L.A., and has a wonderful website where she keeps her numerous fans abreast of her tours. Catch her show when you can. You will see how this gay Irish-German boy from City Island, the Bronx, honors and pushes forward the legacy of her namesake, the legendary Peruvian drag diva Coco Marusix. Coco Peru is a force of nature to be reckoned with. For the Feast of Fun, this has been Larry LaFontaine.
Larry LaFontaine lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan. When he's not busy teaching queer studies and Latin American studies at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, he likes to walk around in drag as Lola von Miramar. Did I get that right?
Yay.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Dun-dun-dun. Reading Rainbow.
So what other forms of gender representation did you find at Saga Talk this week?
Oh, my goodness. Well, honey, there were some tight bathing suits at that swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. You know what I liked is that black drag queen had the giant breast implants, and she kept swinging them around mm-hmm. like it was a inanimate part of her mm-hmm. body.
That was Miss D'Angelo from Gigi's, the premier drag venue in Detroit.
Miss D'Angelo. I got to look her up online. Hey, who was the one that came up with when we're in the pool? What do they call those noodles? They're like those
noodles,
styrofoam
exactly.
plasticky, like...
it's a floating device.
Floating devices, and they have a hole down the center. Well, one of us discovered that
I discovered that.
You discovered
yes.
it, that you could blow all the water that's inside out of it at people.
Well, because I said, because I was uh-huh. hanging out with David Charpentier,
uh-huh.
And I said to him, I was like, hey, you know, look inside these. They're different color inside. Because I was like, he's kind of like a little brother to me yeah. that I like to poke fun mm-hmm. and tease and torture. And so he looked inside there and he said, I don't see anything. I was like, here, why don't you just try blowing into it? And he started beginning to blowing. And as he inhaled, I pushed all the water out and it went down his lungs and he started choking. I was like, and then I felt so bad. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to kill this guy. And his family's like going to hate me. It's uh-huh. like, we took him on a vacation and he almost died.
Then you all learned that you could use a noodle almost like an elephant's trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark and I wet one of our friends from Ann Arbor who was fully dressed and walking by the pool.
And he just didn't expect it. Because it wasn't like we splashed him. We blew like a trumpet of water at him.
Yeah, it was really great.
A shout out to Mike. Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I was at the zoo and this girl in front of me, she was offering a peanut to the elephant that was bathing in the water. And when he went to reach it, she took the peanut away. Well, she did this to him a couple of times. And by the third time, he was fed up and he had had a trunk full of water. So when she took the peanut away, he sprayed her and he also got me. But it wasn't just water. It was like water and mucus.
Yeah.
And we were covered in it. And it was so disgusting.
That's horrible. But I have to say, having uh-huh. David Charpentier was really lovely because not only is he very cute and sweet, but he's also a master mixologist.
Mm.
Honey, he's made so many cocktails. You can watch a video of David making us a fabulous cherry vodka lemonade, frozen lemonade drinks with cherry juice on top. Mm-hmm. It was some of the most delicious things I've ever had.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know.
And you made a good friend, too. We went over to my cousin's house for dinner. My cousin has a place out there. Jack and his partner, Phil. Phil listens
Jack
to the show. So, hi, Phil.
Hi.
We had a good time.
The most lovely dinner party mm-hmm. for us. And it was really interesting seeing another side of Saga Talk, seeing, like, also the the houses, or, you know, people who go there and spend, have time, have houses there, spend time. Mm-hmm. They're a little different from the vibe at Camp It, which mm-hmm. is a gay campground, which I knew from a previous trip, and from the Dunes, which is the resort. So it's really fascinating seeing all these different communities intersecting, or all these people that spend time on Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing I... Con permiso.
Bless you.
Yeah,
bless
it was you. Like a, they had a dog. Thinking about it, it's like they had a beautiful dog named Juno. Mm-hmm. But it's like I was so allergic to that sweet dog. I wanted to say something about the age diversity at this specific resort, at the Dunes Resort. Because I think as gay men, we need to see older gay men who are sexy, comfortable with their sexuality, sociable, and optimistic about their lives. Mm. And, you know, that have they're connected, they're successful, they're loved, and they give love. Because it makes us want to grow older, and it makes us excited about what the future holds. You know, because too many times we're always like, uh-oh, there's a gray hair or there's a wrinkle on my face. And it's like, and my life is going to end. But if you see some of these hot daddies,
you're like,
honey,
hey, life goes
the
on.
Best is yet to come.
Well, you see that a lot in young people, I think, in general. They're like, oh my God, I hope I'm dead by 30. I just want to have fun and then die at 30. And they're like, whatever. I think there's a certain maturity level.
But you know what?
That.
At the Dunes Resort, there's all these guys that are, you know, silver foxes walking around. And it's like, and the young guys are trying to like hook up with them, you know? And it's so nice to see that.
And it got to the point where David actually said he was talking to this gay couple, and at one point in time, they were just like, you know, we're not going to sleep with you. And he's just like, he was kind of like, well, I wasn't really asking, but...
Well, I guess they were so used to saying no to people.
Well,
you know?
And I'm sure that they have to fight people off with sticks, those two.
But I think, for me, it's very interesting because I've never been to Provincetown or Fire Island, which are other famous gay resorts, and sometimes it's... They can be expensive, so it's difficult for young people to go. But one option, in fact, some of the young people we met there were just there for the day. So, you know, they took, it's a long drive, mm-hmm. but, you know, you can do it. And it is interesting. It's a little bit different from the younger crowd that you typically see at Boys Town. And you're absolutely right that variety of gay men of different ages is really amazing. It's really lovely.
Well, I always said, though, like, because I hadn't gone there until recently, but, you know, when I was younger and living in the city, it was, you know, I didn't have a car, so getting there was a hassle. So I was like, they should just pull up a bus at the corner of Roscoe and Halsted and get people out of, like, yeah, they can call it the bait bus, which is like a famous porno where they, like, get straight guys supposedly to come on the bus and then, like, they start offering them money for different things that they do, and like they turn them gay. I think that's how it works.
And you could have a little day trip to Oval Beach, then you go to the Dunes Resort, you catch their tea dance or their drag show, you make a day out of it, and then you get back, you go back to wherever you live.
Well, let's talk really fast about the I guess this is an actor, Danny Miller, who plays a gay character on a British television soap opera, Emmerdale, who was attacked by a group of men who shouted gay slurs at him because they thought that the actor in real life was gay because he played a gay character on television. And he's like, I'm not even gay.
And where did this happen?
Says, in England.
Yeah, I don't know that show, but it just goes, you know what, though? That's always happened, though. People, I remember seeing an actor, his name, he portrayed a guy on One Life to Live, and this is going back to, like, the 70s or 80s. I remember seeing him on a talk show. His character's name was Marco Dane, and he was a bad guy, and he'd, like, kidnap people and rape people. And he actually was, like, walking around in New York, and some woman up above him, like, threw a flower pot at him and started cursing him out and telling him, I hate you, I hate you, I can't believe what you did to Karen. Poor Karen, who at the time was portrayed by Judith Light.
Well, later on, soon actually, we're going to be talking to Allison Ankrum, the actress best known for playing Nellie Olson in Little House on the Prairie. And she says that a lot of times she gets approached by people who think that she was that evil little girl. And they go, I hate you, but I forgive you.
Mm-hmm. It's people confuse art with life.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, because, you know, it's like we are who we say we are. But if we're playing characters, I mean, you never know. Maybe this podcast is we're all just characters out there. You don't know. You don't know what's going on, girl.
I think this podcast is more like a reality show.
It is kind of like a reality show. It's like people always waiting for Mark or Fausto to kill each other.
Speaking of which, Jersey Shore, wow.
Are you watching it?
Well, I've been watching it on the internet. Well, they're very sexy. So
oh, of course. The situation.
And they're also a wreck.
Oh, can we do a quick shout out to Katarina Heights, Empress 5 of the Windy City Empire.
Woo!
The towering...
Hi, Corey.
Wait, I'm not done saying her name.
I'm sorry.
Her name is as long as she is tall. The towering inferno of flawless fierceness and fabulosity, the here kitty kitty empress of the grace of the fountain.
What?
Also known as Corey Album, who also, he came from Chicago all the way to Saugatuck, Michigan to hang out with us. And he, when he dressed up in drag, honey, she was fierce.
All
she never stopped.
9 or 10 or 11 or 12 of her.
And heels, 7 foot three.
Seven foot three.
That's a tall fucking drag queen.
I know. I was like, I was scared that she was going to eat me.
I mean, how do you even find dresses for that?
She makes it herself, just like Coco Peru, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I was noticing that Coco Peru's dress
she had the... Somebody made that for
Made it for her, but it was obviously, like, custom made. And I noticed that the back of the dress was a little bit higher than the front.
Is it supposed to be like that?
Well, most dresses, you know... Yeah, I thought it was like, is there some sexual thing or happened? And she said that, well, I guess she in another show... She gets raped, or she was talking about having sex with an alien, but then it turns out that she's the alien. And I was like, what does that have to do with the cut of your dress? But
it was a beautiful silver sparkly dress.
I know. It's like, I wish I was there right now.
You know that situation, they project that he's going to make $5 million this year between the television show and endorsements and his music.
That is incredible.
Wow. That's a lot for like a juiced up gorilla from Jersey.
Hey, one
Jersey.
Of the boys is Puerto Rican.
Which one?
He's from the Bronx.
You don't know his name, do you, though?
So they're not all Italians?
No.
They pretend to be Italian, but they're not.
Well, Snooki was raised Italian-American, but she was actually born in Chile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
She's Latin-American herself.
The New York Times did a wonderful little write-up feature on her, and her father, who just doesn't understand why people give a damn about her. And he's like, she's just always been like that. And so she's always wants to be the center of attention. Her friends described her as being mean in high school. And the reporter said he was standing in the kitchen and the father runs, she runs in the kitchen with the father. Snooki runs in and is screaming, daddy, 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 let me talk, daddy, let me talk. Like a 6-year-old girl would do. And here she is like, what, in her early 20s? Rather than, hey, dad, excuse me.
You know what it is about our Snooki's appeal to everybody is that she sort of symbolizes how we feel about celebratory events and the progress of the gay rights movement. Stay with me here, people.
What?
Because when we go to the gay pride parades or any kind of like, you know, gathering of gay people, inevitably there's going to be that one person, you know, there's going to be a handful of people who are really drunk messes and they're wandering around being total sluts and looking like tragedies with their tragic haircuts, overdone tans and tacky makeup. And, you know, and then so when people say that to me, I say, well, you know, Snooki is sort of like the Burning Man for our desire to be fabulous. Because we're fighting for the rights to be the Snookies, to get in touch with us, to be sluts, to be messes.
That is a very unusual analysis. I have to say, I would have never thought of it, and I don't even know if I agree. But I just know that watching Jersey Shore, it's just, you're hypnotized. It's so bad, it becomes good.
But it's you know, people criticize gay pride parades for being drunken orgies and celebrations. And I said, look, you're fighting to be able to have this luxury, to be like Snooki. Italian Americans in the past fought so their daughters could be like Snooki. So you have choices, you know? And that's what I'm talking about. How can you not agree with that?
Well,
how can you not celebrate your right? You gotta, as the song said in the 80s, you gotta fight for your right to party.
Well, if you're a fan of something like Jersey Shore, do you also watch the Housewives shows?
Well,
the Real Housewives of this and that.
Maybe.
No, well, either you watch them or you don't watch them.
Well, I don't watch them.
You don't watch them?
I don't watch them either.
Because I think you, if you like Jersey Shore, you probably like the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
So they're the modern equivalent of those Jacqueline Suzanne novels that poor people watch in order so they can continue with their lives. Because they, it's when you see rich people as crazy and as broken down as you are, then you feel that your poverty isn't as biting and isn't as painful because you know that even if you're rich, you're still a screw up. Or you still can be a screw up. And so you can go to work the next day.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, not to change the subject, but I'm going to change the subject. Sometimes I think I'm psychic. Because I was just like, I was thinking about my friend today, and I thought, I bet you he went to Target this weekend. So, so for those of you that don't know, is like there's a boycott among the gay community with Target because they gave $150,000 to Minnesota Forward, which is supporting a very conservative politician, many different conservative politicians in Minnesota. So I said, I heard you. I posted on his Facebook.
But it's not just a conservative, like vehemently anti-gay and anti-marriage equality and fighting against marriage equality.
I have really mixed feelings about this new ruling allowing corporations to give money to political candidates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really kind of, is you feel as though our government can be bought and paid for.
Exactly.
Well, not only does it allow corporations to donate money to political candidates and political campaigns, they don't have to report where the money came from or who's giving the money. So, for example, a foreign-owned company can help elect a politician that will pass laws to benefit those foreign-owned companies against the interests of the citizens that live in that region.
Our next president could be elected by with Chinese dollars.
Yeah.
Or yen or whatever they are.
Yeah. Theoretically speaking.
Because Obama was actually, I think he released a video today and was speaking out about it because he's just like, do not let the Chinese buy my presidency.
I know. Basically, it's what he said. And it was really kind of disturbing because you're thinking, my God.
He'll get outspent.
Anybody will get outspent.
Well,
it
goes along with the rise of political candidates that are multimillionaires. They can afford to finance a very expensive campaign. But in Florida, now it seems that a billionaire will not win the primaries.
Oh, what about California with that billionaire from eBay? She's a very conservative woman. I forget her name. And she's running. But with Target, though, it's like, so I posted on my friend's wall. I wrote, I heard you went shopping at Target this weekend. Then I did a frowny face. And then I emailed him in the back end saying, I just want to gauge people's reaction to see what it would be like if you out somebody for shopping at Target. And then he writes back, he's like, well, how did you find out? Because I really did go shopping at Target this weekend. And I was just like,
you bitch. You evil bitch.
It's actually not evil, bitch, but it's, you know, what are you gonna, if you need something, what are you going to do?
Exactly. You go to another store, go to Marshall's. Rosie O'Donnell on her talk radio show, she said that she couldn't stand the smell at Marshall's, and so she had to break down and shop at Target.
The smell at Marshall's?
The smell. She said it smelled really bad.
Why? Well, she lives
in New
York.
Because they don't, you know, kids vomit and they don't mop it up, you know, or people pee in the dressing rooms.
I've never had a bad experience at Marshall's.
Well, but so.
And there's Bed Bath. If you need bathroom stuff, go to Bed Bath & Beyond. If you need clothes, there's like, go to the Gap. I mean, there's a million alternatives, you know?
So let me give you the conversation we had. But this is back on his wall before I found out. So he goes, who told you that? I said, I promised I wouldn't tell. So I just made it up. And so he writes, lol, which means that they were there too. Soon the whispered oath of silence we have for seeing friends in inappropriate places will include Target.
Oh, because like I said, like if you get caught like with your pants down in the woods somewhere, getting a some pleasure that, you know, there's a spoken rule that you don't say that you were there or you say that other people were there. And now it applies. So the back room of a sex club is now equivalent to Target.
I think I'd rather be seated at the back room of a sex club than at Target.
I have to say, I love the dunes and the forests in Michigan. That's all I can say. It's a fabulous place. And shout out to Mike Jones, by the way, who helped hook us up at the Dunes Resort. And we had a fantastic time. And we could not have done it without Mike and the good people at Dunes. And so we're not getting any money out of this. We are just saying we love them. And we think that you guys, if you live in Chicago or in Detroit, Michigan, or somewhere in the Midwest, you owe it to yourself. Treat yourself and go have a vacation there.
Larry, what book are you working on now?
I'm working on a book on Puerto Rican drag queens and drag kings called Translocas y Transmachas.
Ah.
So how many pages are you dedicating to me and Mark?
Wow. Well, we call Dina and I forget Mark's last name.
Daphne Dumont.
Daphne Dumont, also known as Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela. I'm only Puerto Rican by injection.
Well, it's going to be. I'm going to have to struggle really hard not to let the whole book be taken over by Faustina.
Oh. But I know the temptation is strong.
It's a very strong temptation.
So it's Transloca y Transmacho?
Transmachas.
Transmachas. Because in Puerto Rico, they say the butch lesbians are Mari Machas, which is Maria Butch, translates.
So I'm very fortunate to have a sabbatical coming up now, and I will be working on drag, which is on writing about drag, which is why it was such a delight to be able to write about Miss Coco Peru.
So there's a whole chapter for Miss Coco Peru, then.
Well, you know, it's so fascinating. She's not Latina, right? Clinton is a good Catholic German-Irish boy from the Bronx, but he's been very inspired by the Latino tradition, by drag queens from Peru, where his name came from, is Coco Peru, based on Coco Maru 6, which is a spectacular drag queen in Lima. And obviously, Clinton, or Miss Coco Peru, spends lots of time in Spain because she's married to a Spanish man. So it was a real delight to learn that connection between Miss Coco Peru, one of the great drag queens of New York, and the Latino community.
But let's clarify something here, because it's my mother, you know, she comes from a Texan family. She grew up in Mexico, but she has seen, you know, when you marry somebody, technically you become Latino too, if your husband or wife is Latino. And if we're gay and we're for marriage equality, and Coco Peru is married to a Spanish man.
In Spain,
technically she is Latina too.
Well, you know what? Power to her.
But hold on a second. You are, because you're the kind of person that has the power to declare someone Latino or not.
Can you write it on a napkin and give it to her and say you are not Latina?
But it's technically, if she's married to a Latino man and she spends a lot of time of her years and embedded in culture and love and affairs of the heart, wouldn't that make her a Latina woman too?
I think it certainly makes her an honorary Latina. And she can be Latina identified, and she's certainly inspired by the Latino community, or by, you know, by Latino drag queens.
but she's not making it into my book. But what's funny, though, is like, because the thing is, like, when we've had Coco on the show twice now, and it was a pleasure, absolute pleasure, to meet her in the flesh, in the wig, as it were. And she told us that, you know, her name is in honor of a drag queen in Peru, but you actually know the drag queen that she named herself after, and she was surprised by that.
Well, I've been to Peru twice, and I was fortunate enough to have gay friends who took me to all the downtown bars and clubs. So I've seen Miss Coco Maru 6 perform, and she's just legendary. I mean, Latin America is just full of incredible drag queens that, you know, oftentimes don't come to perform to the United States. So it's really exciting when you travel in a new country to figure out who are the local stars that really shine in those places. And you can even look her up. You can look Coco Maru 6 online, and you will find photos and information.
How do you spell that? Maru, M-A-R-U-S-E-X?
M-A-R-U-S-I-X.
F-I-X.
S-I-X.
Maru 6.
You know, the other thing I'm just thinking about, too, is that Ima Sumac, the Peruvian Chantus princess, was very popular at the time that Coco Peru developed her character. So that might also have a little bit of influence.
Yeah, she had a resurgence there, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Ima Sumac is a gay icon with her voice that sounds like a bird.
Wow. That's my
emo
sumac.
She'd like to do her, what do you call it? Her
glissandos and growls.
I wonder if so.
That's a lovely imitation of Ima Sumac, who was rumored to really be Amy Camus from Long Island. But that apocryphal story is apparently not true at all.
It is not true. She really is from Peru.
Mm-hmm. She was. There was certified proof.
Just like Obama's birth certificate.
From Hawaii.
From Hawaii. But I wonder, you know, maybe we should come up with a Latina version of RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul's drag, how do you say race in Spanish?
Well, carrera. Or concurso. But let me tell you, I mean, Latinas have really shined in RuPaul's Drag Race because Nina Flowers.
Oh, yeah.
A runner-up. Jessica Wilde did an absolutely outstanding job. Those are just the Puerto Rican ones.
Oh, honey, if you're a street worker, you owe it to yourself to get on RuPaul's Drag Race.
It's better than la televisión or the calle. What's better?
There you go. The streets or the screen.
La calle, or how do you say screen?
It definitely raises your street cred to appear on la televisión.
I know. Yeah. Well, Larry, we got to wrap this up, honey.
Absolutely. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you and catching up after our fabulous weekend at the Dunes in Saugatuck, Michigan.
Larry, what's your YouTube channel for people?
Oh, well, it's just my name, Larry LaFountain. I say LaFontaine, but it's spelled L-A Fountain, like water fountain.
Right.
And there they can see your cute videos. And, of course, you can go to youtube.com/feastoffun and search inside there Lola, and you can see Lola eating a delicious plate of tostones.
Absolutely.
And subscribe to that because, honey, we are having a launch party for it.
Oh, that'll be fun.
So, and I guess you'll have to come to Chicago for it.
And all of our listeners, all of your listeners who haven't had fried green plantains, tostones, what are you waiting for? They're delicious.
Thank you, Larito.
Thank you.
Bye,
guys.
Larry. Thank you.
Bye.
And that's all we have for today's show, folks. Remember, you can follow us also on Twitter, twitter.com/feastoffun.
And on Facebook, facebook.com/feastoffun.
If you like today's show, subscribe on the iTunes Music Store and never miss a delicious episode. Search Feast of Fun and hit subscribe. Sync it with your iPhone, iPod, or portable MP3 player. It's just that easy. We're going to leave you here with a song, La Revolución Sexual, which in English means the sexual revolution, from the band La Casa Azul, which in English means the Blue House. Available on our website, feastoffun.com. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
Bye, everybody. Tú que decidiste que tu vida no valía, que te inclinaste por sentirte siempre mal, que anticipabas un futuro catastrófico, hoy pronosticas la revolución sexual. Tú que decidiste que